Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tessie is the royal root, his rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October night. After serenade installed the Nain and Young.
Gotta admit, I like it.
Tessie is a maiden with a sparkling eye. Tessie is a maiden with a love.
Ah, you can feel spring coming.
She doesn't know the meaning of her sign.
Smell of fresh cut grass.
Zoe almost wants to watch a baseball game.
I do. No.
Almost.
Cold beer in the hand. Sausages, onions, and peppers. This song gets me going. For whatever, I don't care. It's the only one I like. They do.
All right, Shaughnessy's on the line. Go to the expert hotline with Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe. Hi, Dan.
How's it going, fellas?
Reporting from Fort Myers. What's going on?
Ready to come home yet?
Whole lot of nothing.
I am boots on the ground here. You should be able to hear the Craig Kimbrell fastball popping into the mitt right in the background here. He's not far from me. I always have to be careful where I stand because sometimes you think these guys might make a run at you and say it just got away. So I'm just being careful with that. But, so it's the last non-workout day.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of guys here, you know, just about the whole pitching staff's here, the whole catching staff's here. Dombrowski's sitting in a perch up above, kind of lording over the whole thing, looking down. Alex Cora's having his first media event downstairs now under the tent by the picnic table. David Price, I can tell you, spoke for about 21 minutes just now, and I'll have a column on that for you shortly online. And
can you give us the bullet points?
Yeah,
anything
sure.
of note?
He admitted he could have handled things better last year. He said if he saw Eckersley, he's willing to talk, and that he kind of has some regrets about the way he behaved. He did own that, and he said he'd be available to the media this year, unlike when he changed the rules last year. He said he didn't want a lot of negativity around his locker, so I'll try to avoid that space, I suppose. But it was funny too because he played with JD Martinez for a bit in Detroit, so he was asked if he has talked to him. And I'm thinking, well, that wouldn't be good. The guy's never going to come here if David Price talks.
Well, if he wants to get paid.
Yeah, so he did say he shared thoughts with J.D. Martinez. And, he admitted, he kind of, just last year was sort of a lost season for him, and he really let it get away from him. But he says the elbow is fine. He says he wants to be here next year because he has the opt-out at the end of the season, of course. And he seemed kind of just low-key and not emotional, and like he was prepared to just sort of hear some hard questions and move on from it.
Okay, but Dan, if I could cut you off on that part about wanting to be here next year, he's got no other option other than to say that. Because if he's smart, that's what he should
say.
Playing
it right.
He's playing that the right way.
Yep.
Oh, of course I want to be here long-term, sign a long-term deal. You don't say, I don't want to be here.
Day one.
You don't do that.
Now you got a story.
That would be stupid. So give him the credit for saying the right things. And it sounds like he's making an effort to at least say the right things out of the gate.
No, I think he is. And, he's always a guy who I kind of get roped in on him because I just think his talent is such that he could be really good. And I thought he didn't have his horrible year in 16, as everybody said. And I do believe he could, they could have a really lights out top two in the rotation if he and Sale pitch the way they're capable of. That is possible. But, the elbow is going to be things folks are watching with him early on, but he was pitching great at the end when they should have started him and had him in the bullpen in the playoffs.
Anybody scratching their heads on the way Benintendi looks?
I haven't.
You know what I'm saying, without saying it.
Funny you say that. Yeah, my son saw him.
I didn't recognize him, Dan.
Baseball writer's dinner, and he said the same thing. And my son's like the same height.
This has nothing to do with hair or height. I'm talking about
girth,
neck. His head's different.
It looks like a lot. It looks like a bit much. Like, you worry about his mobility, his agility in the outfield, his on the base paths.
Wow.
It just seems like a lot of weight in one burst here. So, I agree with you on that. And I think visually it is a little bit startling when you first see him. We saw him in January at the writer's dinner, and we thought the same thing.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I just think, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, should be more home runs, and he's a good baseball player. He doesn't strike out that much, so He'll probably be hitting the two hole, but I think he'll be worth watching out of the gate, definitely.
Anything else going on there? What's worth mentioning?
Pedro Martinez is on the premises. That's always a highlight. He's here, and they don't really let the fans in yet. Tomorrow's the first day for that, those who come down. But it is a startling contrast to the mania that used to follow this team around. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, they used to broadcast live the stupid pitcher fielding drills, you know, on NESN. It was such a crazed Red Sox mania at that. So that's kind of gone away.
So you could actually feel that.
Yeah, does it feel dead there? Does it feel dead?
Yeah, it's just quiet, and I expect it's going to be quiet. And, you know, until tomorrow when the people are actually allowed into the complex, you don't get much gauge of that. But it's just, you know, as you've talked about, the lack of buzz. Everywhere I go, the first question I get asked is, like, how come Malcolm Butler didn't play?
Yeah, we got six deep on the line right now for that.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. And folks down here are asking the same thing. So, you know, I think they're aware of it, and we'll see how they deal with it. Dombrowski's going to talk tomorrow and bring us up to date on the non-JD Martinez deal. But they really, as we know, this was a team that did nothing in the offseason. I think they added some paint to the JetBlue Park down here and the new craft beer and re-up in Mitchell. You know,
that's right. You can at least do the beer tasting down there.
Yeah,
we can get Pete all fired up.
Yeah, so that's going to be the thing. But it's as predicted, pretty much Sleepy Hollow thus far. But I thought that the Price at least got it out of the way, and it was said the right things. So he'll be. We'll see how that goes in the upcoming days, weeks, and months.
When are you coming back?
I'll be here a little bit. I'll be here. I might see you in 2 weeks. You know, we'll see how this goes.
Jesus.
Everyone else is pulling back their coverage, and I'm sure
Dan Roach isn't even there.
Does the Globe have everybody there? Does the Globe have everyone there? You,
yeah, I mean,
Pete, Abe, Alex.
Yeah, we're all Nick Cafardo. We're all here.
Oh, four guys. What do you have? Like, y'all have condos or you're at the hotels? What do you got?
You guys wash each other's laundry?
Everybody does different things. You know, I stay at one of those chain places, kind of like at the Mall of America, except with warm weather. But, yeah, it's that's the drill. No Rochi is a stunner, though. Channel 7 and Channel 5 are here.
I saw some of the coverage last night on Channel 7, and all I keep thinking as I watch the other station's coverage is how smart Channel 4 is for not sending somebody. What a waste. Yeah. What a total waste to hear some 30-second snippet of nothingness from Alex Cora. Like, nothing at all. Nothing of value. Pointless. Pointless coverage.
All right, then.
Yeah. Well, you have a great week.
Like, you better write a good column on Price.
Yeah. Start up, Dan.
That's one of the interesting things about it.
Your only hope.
That's like one of the things you might be interested in reading about. Is it's Price still an a-hole? That should be I'll give you the title right now. Make that your headline.
Hey, let's not be hate radio, guys.
No. Yeah. No, we don't do never. That. No. Never. No, we do. All right, Dan. Good luck down there.
We'll talk to you. See you.
All right. Godspeed. See you later.
Oh, boy.
I did. I saw it last night. One of the reporters from Channel 7 sitting down with Alex Cora, and Alex Cora says nothing. Nothing.
Well,
when they keep showing stuff out of his car.
He's brand new.
Okay, now a happy meeting would be nice, but would you rather have him say nothing or speak like John Farrell used to?
Oh, he's 1,000. Come on.
Okay.
Come on now,
right.
Hardy.
So
he's 1,000 times better than John Farrell.
Okay, so let's count our blessings on this.
Let's
just watch for Andrew Benintendi's Achilles tendon to roll up like Gabe Kapler after he's decided to bulk up. Or the
roll
offseason.
Up like a shame.
Yeah, first time he tries to run from first to second, you'll hear that thing pop from the Budweiser roof deck.
Remember
and
you'll
wonder why he decided to become a bodybuilder / baseball player.
Remember Trot Nixon was a twig and he swallowed like 40 pounds and then he went down and then he was like dirty all of a sudden.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
He looks on swole, tell you that much. Looks big.
Head.
Went to Jamba Juice.
Big jaw.
Actually, do you want to get... We will continue with your football calls. We have more items we want to get to on the Patriots today. There is a story, though, that is out today about PEDs in baseball.
Which I think is great. I think it's bring them back. Like, bring baseball back. Make baseball great again.
So is all about PEDs in baseball.
I love seeing the picture of Ben attending.
I am long on record about my stance on a little bit of gas in the game.
That juice is loose.
Jamba Juice.
Line them up here, guys. Drink this.
Yes. I want to get to this story because it is inevitably somehow tied to the Red Sox. I will explain that coming up next.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I want to get to this baseball story, Zoe, because back in 2013, when Melky Cabrera went down for PED use,
yep,
and he had someone create a fake website that was where he got the thing that made him test positive from. Like, they came up with this grand scheme, him and one of his advisors, who also happened to be a consultant for Seth and Sam Levinson, two of baseball's biggest agents. Aces Agency. They've got a lot of big-name clients. At the time, I couldn't understand how the agents got off, considering the guy that set up the website was working for the agency. Like, someone that worked for the agency was helping Melky Cabrera not only obtain his PEDs, but try and concoct a story to cover up the usage of PEDs, right, to make it look like some sort of mistake. And at the time, the agency, Aces, had six guys tied up in the Anthony Bosch situation, that clinic down in Florida.
These names are popping up again. The infamous names.
Remember all these names? You hear them again, and you're like, oh,
Levinson,
yeah, Anthony Bosch.
Yep. Everybody.
Right?
Yep.
And that was the Biogenesis case down in Florida, where they had all the records and they discovered all the players that were using them. Again, this was 2012 when he was suspended, and then this investigation into the agency took place in 2013.
Was Woods tied to that one, Tiger Woods, or was that Conti? Or
that was
part of... I thought Tiger's name was brought up around that time, too. Hardy, do you remember that?
Seems right.
Yeah. It was with the...
No,
was,
you're right.
It was with part of the baseballs, guys. Yeah. Yep.
Anthony Bosch was tied to Tiger Woods.
I thought so. Yeah, yeah.
No, Anthony Galea was tied to Tiger Woods.
Galea.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But it's all around that same time, man. This is when...
Wrong one.
This is when it was hitting.
Dr. Galea was the guy who was involved in Tiger Woods. So, the guy who was involved at the time was this guy, Juan Carlos Nunez. He was the guy who said, I set up the website. I was the guy. I take the blame.
Yep.
Even went as far as to call a newspaper in New York and talk to the editor and swear to the editor, no, the Levinsons had nothing to do with it. It was all me. It was not Seth and Sam Levinson. I take full responsibility for it. He now claims in a lawsuit against the Levinsons that he did all of that because they promised to pay him. That they promised to give him money for taking the fall. While all of these Aces clients started getting involved in positive tests and obviously were involved in PED use.
Right.
He's now suing the Levinsons in New York State Supreme Court, saying that Aces was a rogue agency that reaped millions of dollars in fees by cheating the game of baseball. He claims that the agency had been providing players with PEDs for decades. He says he has an affidavit signed by Kirk Radomski, who pled guilty to two such charges and was a major player in the Mitchell Report going back a decade, though. Remember that name? Kirk Radomski, clubhouse guy? He also, in this lawsuit, goes into details about the Levinsons' alleged involvement with convicted drug dealer Anthony Bosch related to the Biogenesis case, and how Sam Levinson introduced Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, and other MLB players to Bosch to go buy their drugs. That the agents were the guys setting up their players with Bosch, knowing that the regimen for the players contained HGH, testosterone, and performance-enhancing gummies. Take a PED gummy, if you will.
I like those.
It also says in the lawsuit, the Levinsons made under-the-table payments to clients. Their mantra.
The best, man. When you get that manila envelope with cash in it.
Yeah,
oh, my
you
God.
Heard of these.
No trace. Oh, just here, take this, kid. A little rubber band around it.
Levinson's, they had a mantra, do whatever it took, even if it meant doing things in violation of MLB and United States law. Nunez says he was then thrown under the bus to protect their reputations, and he was made to take the fall for the schemes to try and fool Major League Baseball regarding Cabrera's tests. It says they've got the Kirk Radomski signed affidavit as part of this. And then it lays out all this other stuff about the pickups and the drop-offs and how much the Levinsons knew, despite the fact that these guys at the time, denied everything and said, we know nothing about what's going on with our clients. We know nothing about this guy that works for us. And we know nothing about the fact that all the guys that we represent are all of a sudden being involved in PEDs. No clue. But have you looked at their client list? I just happened to look at
about a paper trail.
I'm like, who else do they have? Who are their clients? Like
thick muscles.
If this was going on at their agency.
Think thick arms. Thick necks.
And
this is like when you look at Benintendi. Like it's the same thing.
Well, that's what happens in baseball now.
Yeah.
When you show up and you're huge, everyone automatically says, oh, what'd you take in the offseason?
Well, it's like, you just saw him 2 months ago. All of a sudden, a kid who just pounced upon the scene, it looks the same for 2 years, and you fall in love with the player, and all of a sudden, there's a makeover. It has nothing to do with the hair or the haircut.
Right.
It's the neck.
Oh, and by the way, Paul LaDuca, former major leaguer, who was one of their, testified at the time to MLB against the agency, saying, no, these guys knew about everything. No, they're aware. And so if that was kind of the culture with the guys they represented,
yeah.
I just pulled up their website, and I'm like, oh, who do they got? Oh, they got David Wright. Oh, they have John Lester. Oh, Dustin Pedroia is one of their featured guys. Oh, Jonathan Papelbon. Huh.
Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah, okay, yep. And then I'm like looking at the list, though. And you know what's funny is you got to be able to identify the guys by their faces because they don't actually list their names. And I'm going through and I'm like, wait a minute. Is that? Oh, that's Mike Lowell. Oh, that's Kevin Millar. Oh, this thing is littered. They obviously represent a ton of guys.
Kevin Millar.
Yeah, Kevin Millar in there on the list. And it's going to be guilt by association for these guys that have been represented by this agency. How could it not be? How could that not be the case? Just a thought. But if this is what they have going on, well, I mean, are we really going to say they're cheating the game or they're rewarding the fans?
Like you're aiding the fans, not rewarding, aiding. You're helping them have a better viewing experience. Yeah, or rewarding. Same. Aid, reward. Yeah.
That's my thought of the day on PEDs. It's still in the game.
Charles, you should write
an article
on that.
It's
still going
on. Right. It's still part of the game. And even though you're only going to hear about it every so often, it's still there.
Yeah.
Might not be. It's definitely not to the degree it once was.
You can find it if you need it.
Still a factor.
Yep.
Still a factor in baseball. Sorry, just is. Something you got to live with.
Right.
Still a factor in all of sports.
Of course it is.
It's not going anywhere.
Rest recovery.
617-779-0985. Cam and Taunton with a Cam and Taunton thought of the day.
Ooh.
I got to tell you, I'm a millennial who loves baseball, and I have for a while, but I can never remember being less excited for baseball season than I am this year. I mean, I got to tell you right now, I'm more excited to watch the Yankees, aren't you guys?
They got like
Zoe loves the Yankees.
Oh my god, they got five guys that can hit over 40 home runs in that lineup.
Zoe's gonna order the baseball package to the Yankees.
Exactly.
I mean, I gotta say, I'm looking forward to that survey that comes out at the end of August and seeing the Red Sox numbers this year, because I got a feeling they're gonna be down near the Revolution category. I mean, Murray said this went after the Yankees got thinned. They're gonna be down there with the Revolution and the Cannons and all them. And
what
all
if they're
Boxes,
good though? Cam, what if they're really good though?
They were really good last year. Nobody gave a crap.
Good point.
No, I mean like really, really good. Like, everything goes right. Chris
really
Sale,
good.
David Price come out, and they're on fire over the first 2 months. People will start to pay attention.
I mean, look, you might be right. It's just like, I mean, they got off to a slow start last year, and that didn't help. But I remember, like, they were in a pennant race last year, and in September, I mean, you heard the tumbleweeds rolling by.
Here's their biggest problem.
They got to sign Martinez.
They
to
don't
either
have a
be
bat.
Good or be, to either be good or not good. You know what I mean? They need that Martinez-type signing to bring in for us to something to have to watch. Like, is he going to come in and just knock the cover off the ball, or is he going to come in and have a slump and people are going to go nuts? It's going to work either way, you know? But that's what they need.
Yeah,
they're going to find a way to sign that guy.
I don't want him here. I don't want him.
I don't want a scrappy team.
I don't want him here.
I don't want a little engine that could.
No, I want good planning, good long-term planning, which does not
long-term
involve signing J.D. Martinez. But the problem is they've got short-term assets in Sale,
yeah.
Price,
right,
and
so,
others.
So you're either in it to win it or you're not. When's their drop dead date to where they pull back? You know what? Offer's not on the table anymore, guys.
Yesterday should have been the day.
Jesus.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on both the Red Sox and also the Super Bowl. I see some of you want to talk about that. We'll definitely get to that right after this. Super Headlines Bowl. With Hardy.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cowbell. Ready? Ah, it's so nice not having that CBS Sports minute.
That makes you feel good.
So liberated.
Makes you feel good, huh?
Nice letter from the Radio Ink boss.
Good. It's good.
Love the rant. Rolling like a freight train. Like, what would Feinstein do now?
He's still doing them.
He should write, like,
they still air
cards.
On other stations. They just don't air on this station anymore.
We're so much smarter now.
You're so much smarter.
Did somebody say the morning show still has them, though?
Yeah, they do. Boomer still will do mornings.
Oh, more, I like Boomer.
Yeah, Boomer's fine.
Yeah.
Even Rome. I don't mind Rome.
Boomer gets it. No, Rome, yeah. Rome does relevant stuff. Like,
I don't mind Rome.
Just happened, like,
but he's
night.
Gone, too.
Right.
The only guy that stays is Boomer. Mornings.
Mm.
Everything else out the window. 617-779-0985. Glenn and Natick on a little bit of a tweet beef involving Greg Bedard. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Question for Zoe. Obviously, you're talking about the theme of guys being out of position and
sure.
not being put in position to succeed. Bedard wrote a piece about
Marquise Flowers.
Flowers not being used appropriately and not using his athleticism to cover the, I think, Clement out of the backfield and a couple other situations. And your review of the games three or four times there, what are your thoughts on that?
And this is where I thought, you know, credit to Philly, because there was a play late in that Jacksonville game, I don't know if you remember it, but they ran a wheel route with Leonard Fournette out of the backfield. And I think it was Flowers that was actually in coverage on him. And it was a bad throw by Blake Bortles. He had him. He had a step on Flowers late in that game. And, I mean, now all of a sudden we got a game in that AFC Championship game. So Philly saw that on film and said, if you're going to do this, we're going to take a quicker, more, you know, a back with better hands, match them up like Clement did, and we're going to expose you. And they did it with Richards and Flowers. So credit to Frank Reich, and he's the head coach with the Colts now, based on that type of game he called. Yeah.
Do you think there's any merit in what Bedard was writing about not using Flowers appropriately? Or?
Well, I think it's I think what Greg's politely writing there is the lack of talent, you know, at the positions. And you got exposed. And it leads back to, you got a guy wearing number 21. It's, say what you want, he's pretty talented. He's got a good motor. He's been in big spots and he's competed. So now you want to roll the dice with Flowers and who's the other kid? Jordan Richards? Yeah. I don't like that. Don't like it. No disrespect to Flowers. If Flowers said, hey, we didn't make the plays, put on the players too. Yeah, but at some point when it hits break point where you see the guy continually not making the play, you need to adjust and change things. And they didn't do that. They kept rolling it out there. You know, it's cover two. And guess who's on the inside slot? Oh, I'm Nick Foles. I'm going to be the MVP. I'm going to throw it over the middle. It's going to be wide open. And just couldn't stop it. Could not stop it. And it's like Kevin James and Hitch. Can't stop it. Can't stop it. You don't need food. Don't be making a pizza. They got food there at the party. Well, that was a party the other night. Nick Foles had himself a good time at it. Can't stop it. It's like a nightmare, man. I'm telling you.
Yep.
This was a bad loss. Saying nobody says, oh, great game. Yeah, it was an exciting game back and forth, but man, you couldn't slow them down.
And what he wrote was that Flowers, this is Greg Bedard,
yeah,
who is 6'3", 250, was used to rush the passer against the Eagles, much larger offensive line, all of whom outweighed him by at least 50 pounds, 9 times, often causing a better pass rusher to drop back into coverage. He says, and spied Foles, I guess, on another 2, all but one of Flowers' 17 snaps were completely useless and put the rest of the players at a disadvantage. He said he was used incorrectly. and that the Eagles converted on 11 of the 17 plays on third down.
I saw Flowers didn't like those comments.
He didn't.
That's a bad thing, Spock Greg.
He said that when Flowers was on there, he said the Patriots' defense, in essence, was playing with 10 players even before the ball was snapped.
Yeah, I agree.
Flowers didn't like that commentary.
Then do something about it.
Again, his commentary, Marquise Flowers, the always mature Marquise Flowers, with the commentary for Greg Bedard. He says, so you get all the answers? More than Coach Belichick that has been to more Super Bowls than you have been with women.
Yeah. You think Bedard, when he's at Rutgers, he's a ladies' man? Was Rutgers sweater?
Yes, absolutely.
Sweater, like the Mr. Rogers sweater with an R on it.
Yes.
He carried a big tray out with the Bob's Big Boy sandwich on it. Who wants a hamburger?
Yes, he did all of that.
I bet he did.
All of that. Jim and Beverly on Andrew Benintendi looking huge. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, sir.
So, Joe, totally agree with your take on Butler. Personal decision, my opinion, cost him the game. All right, let's lighten up on Benintendi. All right, I got no problem with the guy putting on, what did he put on, 20 pounds, coming in jacked. What if he hits 30, 35 homers?
Good for him. Keep doing what you're doing.
Right?
Keep taking whatever you're taking, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good protein out there, guys. You got to remember that, you know?
Sure
come
is.
Come a long way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't understand the point. I'm complimenting him for exploding. He found the right protein. Yeah.
He ate well. This
what's
season.
Felger do?
A lot of steak.
What's Felger do? Felger does it.
A lot of steak. Ton of steak. Steak or chicken.
Yeah.
Both good protein. Just ask Gonzalez. He knows. Some guys like steaks. Some guys, vanilla or chocolate. Really, protein shakes.
There was always that one guy, whether you showed up, you know, back to camp, like, whoa, boy, you packed
pounds. Well, look at you.
What did you do this offseason?
Ate well. Worked out. Did some workouts.
I drank milk. Muscle milk.
Hey, T-Bone, how long do you think it would take Benintendi to go from what he was last season
Tom,
to what he is
now? Tom, you work out a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you got big muscles.
Yeah, Tom, you work out a lot. So he's never been in a weight room
before. How's he look to you?
Right?
Yeah. Looks like he's been eating a lot of egg whites.
Egg whites.
Yeah. Egg whites.
Well, Tom doesn't work out.
Yeah.
No.
He just does a little cardio. A
few push-ups?
A couple.
Yeah. Tom doesn't work out.
Cat got your tongue today, huh, Tom?
Yeah. As opposed to the other
Tom
days.
Tuck tie.
When the mouth just runs nonstop.
More of your calls are coming up next.
Oh, God.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up with that, Tom? What's up with that? You just killed the music like that? We had something going on here.
Do you not see the room?
Fire something else up.
Yeah.
You know, now I feel like you need something to get going.
Yeah, give me something. Yeah, that is a generic rejoin.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Give me something good now.
Yeah, come on.
Like make me want to get to the top of the hour.
Let's go.
You got all these calls we got to get to. Thank you for hanging. That's not going to do it.
No. Stop it. Mike in West Roxbury. Mike, what do you got for us today?
Hold on, Mike. You know what? That makes me not want St. Patrick's Day to come. That music. That horrible, horrible music. Nobody likes that. It's gotten old. It's gotten hokey. Like, you know, it's like the people from The Outsiders. You know, like when Kevin Weeks comes in, hey, guys in Beantown, how we doing up there? Hey, my friends in Boston, Beantown. No, we don't call it that. And we don't make that song ours. We're done with that, Tom. Take it out of the system. Go ahead. Sorry, Mike.
Hey, guys, no problem. I wanted to just talk about the Sox, but first off, I heard you guys saying that Rochie is not going to go down to spring training because WBC didn't want to do it for whatever reasons. I think it's financial, and I think as these, you know, as these agencies, these newscasts and Boston Herald and Globe, as their revenue goes down, they start taking kind of the cheap way out. And I don't know if you can directly correlate that.
Well, I don't think it's a cheap way. I mean, if you're gonna, and I don't know what the reasoning is, okay? But obviously, times have changed as far as the way you watch and absorb the news, right, on TV. Yeah. And, I mean, we live in a digital age now.
But you think that's what happened with, like, Ron Borges? You think they said, hey, maybe, you know, try to get a story out quicker. We don't really have time to go.
No, I think Ron got lazy, as he usually does, and just didn't check and put the term sources, plural, out there.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say about the Sox is, you know, it's funny. In the years past, especially in, like, the 2000s and 90s, people were talking about, oh, it's all defense wins championships. We need pitching. And now we have three Cy Young winners on the staff, and everyone is talking about, oh, we have no bats. You know, before, you look at that Arizona team, I think it was 97, that beat the Yankees, and all they had was Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson and a bunch of average bats, and they won. We have three Cy Young winners. Why isn't anyone talking about the team, and why are we just focusing on home runs?
Yeah, you get excited about those pitchers, Peter? Ready to go? I got to carry you?
Jacked.
For 5 months?
Jacked.
It's going to be fun.
No, you need a guy. And they
give
do
me
need
murder
a guy.
As well.
And this
I'll
is
watch
be,
him.
No, this is going to be a problem for them until they figure out who this guy is going to be. And I don't think J.D. Martinez is this guy, which is why I'm against the eye. You got to do something. You got to sign somebody.
Don't
you
put that
spend
$25
the money.
Million price
like,
tag
don't
on him.
Don't do that.
Don't elevate him on that pedestal.
They need that guy in the middle of the lineup, the guy that actually is a problem for opposing pitchers, the guy that makes it difficult to pitch around, that helps the other guys around him in the lineup. And I don't think that guy is J.D. Martinez. Nope.
And why do they think that? Just because he's one of the...
Because he's available?
Yeah. Then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't get caught up in it. Don't screw it up like you did the last two. Then we'll another Sandoval. Now, he's not going to be Sandoval, but he could be Handley. I don't want that. Don't do it. But in a weird way, from an entertainment standpoint, you want him to do it. Because just to see how he will handle the Boston dynamic and the pressure of playing here, will he rise to the occasion? A lot of people are saying no.
Charlie's in the truck today.
Chuck.
Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Chucky.
All right. Hey, I just got a crazy story about the House of Blues in Boston. I heard you guys were talking about
it. Wait. From last night or just in general?
Let's just tell crazy stories.
No, just in general.
Nice.
All right.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll have it. Let's go.
All right,
they had the Globies there. I got my Globie there.
It's a historic night.
No, it's
very historic night.
Place. You know what, though? The problem with it is why they probably don't have people crowd surfing there anymore. It's because the floor is really hard. The dance floor is really hard. Main floor. Found that out the hard way. I was 16. I was having some fun. First concert ever. It was a Rancid concert.
How old are you now?
And I crowd surfed. Not a good idea. I got dropped three times. The fourth time, I made it to the stage, but I actually fractured three vertebrae in my back.
Yeah, people usually get hurt with that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, that floor there is hard. Most dance floors are a nice plush carpet with a really good padding, or they'll have like a bouncy...
Like a wrestling room.
Or like a bouncy house type of dance floor, but you're right. That is
something
that
inflatable.
Really.
I'm just saying.
Absurdly
just
hard
like
floor.
Like a waterbed.
I'm just saying. I didn't feel it until the next day when I got up.
Let me ask you this, Brainiac. When do you think you fractured the vertebrae? Was it the second or third time you got up on people's shoulders for the crowd surfing?
I'm pretty sure I fractured one each time I got dropped.
Good. All right. Spread it out.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. So, still got nerve damage from that. It's fun.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
I can only say you deserve it.
It's fun. It's fun.
I'll tell you what. When you clear that first it's 3 to 4 feet of space between the railing and...
Okay.
Stage. When you cleared out,
all right, hold on,
you're flying.
Hold on.
Ain't nothing like it.
At least in some venues, and when it was not House of Blues, before they tore down Avalon, that had a hardwood floor. So that has some give to it, right? Like a wood floor has a little bit of give.
Are we serious?
Polished cement, on the hardness scale, that one is more
that's
than
true.
Wood.
Not his fault. I take it back, sir. Not your fault. You didn't deserve 3 fractured vertebrae and permanent nerve damage for getting up time and time again to fall onto the same floor. They probably hardened the floor in between falls. Did he mention
stories.
That? Were they coming out to refinish the floor in between sets? Was the band taking multiple breaks that night and they were coming out to do a little construction work?
Yeah,
and the floor got harder each time? They should have told you guys that. It should have been printed on the ticket.
You're being a dick.
No, I'm siding with him. Not his fault.
Jeff in Wilmington on the Patriots. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Just wanted to talk about Belichick. Over the last 2 years, I'm going to just say, obviously, I think Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time and arguably one of the greatest managers, too.
Yes, but preamble.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues is for Belichick is I think he doesn't have patience with a lot of the millennial, younger generation of football players that are coming up, and it kind of shows over the past 2 years. I think he got rid of Chandler Jones too early, Jamie Collins too early, arguably Dominic Easley too early, and now he didn't play Malcolm Butler.
Wait, Dominic Easley?
Hey, Dominic Easley, I know he's not playing anymore, but...
because he had yet another ACL tear. He had another knee injury with the Rams.
But at the same time, he was a first round draft pick, and they got rid of him because Dominic didn't want to work out with the Patriots over some spat over that. So I really think it's just evidence that Belichick doesn't have a lot of patience with a lot of the younger football players that are coming up. That's all I'm
okay. That is a good point, though. I'm not trying to disprove your point because I think you're making a good point, Jeff, and it is a good call. I would say that. As much as we appreciate the way Bill Belichick goes about his business, right? Look at this comment from what's his name there in Philadelphia. No fun guy.
Lane Johnson.
Yes, thank you. I want to call him Lance every time. Yeah. But Lane there this week says, I'd rather win one Super Bowl than 5 and have fun doing it, you moron. So there's this element of, the Patriots don't have any fun, the Patriots are too strict. What if there's some truth in that? What if they shouldn't be as strict as they are? Not saying be the Eagles. Not saying be the Ravens. Right. Not saying be any of these other teams that think they have it solved. Because there's so many that they win once and they think they've got it all figured out.
We will be transparent.
Oh, right? I mean, how many teams do that? Oh, we've got it all figured out.
Who's got more talent than Pittsburgh but just can't seem to get over a hump because they're so transparent? We don't hide anything. We address the elephant in the room. We'll get them asses again. I don't know. There's a fine line. But it is what it is. It's Bill's way or the highway. If you don't like it, they'll get more players. They'll get different ones. They did it with Jones. They did it with Jamie Collins.
But it didn't work this time, and it didn't work last Sunday.
Right, it didn't work. But he's been to three Super Bowls in the last 4 years.
There are limits
to that. Working.
There are limits to that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying all of a sudden change the way you go about doing your business. I'm saying pick your spots to let someone be an idiot.
Like
going into the Super Bowl with Malcolm Butler, you're upset with him about whatever it was that you're upset with him about.
Like, I go back.
Pick your spot there, and that's where you pick a spot and say, well, this guy's leaving anyway.
That was a talented.
We're going to play him. We want to win the game.
That was a talented Atlanta team last year that had you. You go back to 49. The Seahawks team?
Yeah.
That team was badass, man.
They thought they had it all figured out.
Stacked. Like, and this is why I keep going back and why this will echo as a bad loss. You lost to an okay Philly team. Like, what will Nick Foles become out of this? We don't know. He doesn't know. Guy's a Super Bowl MVP. He doesn't know where he's playing next year. Think about that. Doug Peterson was called by Mike Lombardi one of the most non-ready head coaches in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. Lombardi had to eat crow on that. But, they lost their coordinators. LeGarrette Blount ran all over your ass. That was not a loaded team. It was a good team. It was an okay. It's an okay champ. And you got to take that loss. You got to lick your wounds and take it. Because they beat you. Fair and square. They out game planned your ass. In 2 weeks, they were more ready than you were. And that's a tough thing to swallow with this staff.
Noontime hour coming up. Let's talk a little bit about Josh McDaniels coming back as a member of the coaching staff, offensive coordinator. and how the story, the way it's been portrayed, the way it's been reported, may not be entirely accurate. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds.